realized we'd found the vehicle McLuhan used to boost Daisy. Stupid wankers, if they'd used one of their own motors, we'd not be any the wiser, but they tried to use a stolen one as a cutout. So they panicked and dumped Scorpion Stare into the pound, and it didn't work. So they panicked some more, and McLuhan panicked even more. Bet you he's the go-between, or even the guy behind it. What is he, senior esoteric officer? Deputy site manager? He's in London, so he planted the crazy blackmail threat, then brought down the hammer on his own co-workers. Bet you he's a smart sociopath, the kind that does well in mid-level management, all fur coat and no knickers, and willing to shed blood without a second thought if it's to defend his position. Damn, Andy says mildly as he stands up. Okay, so, internal politics, stupid bloody prank organized to show up Angleton. They use idiots to run it, so your cop finds the trail. Then the lunatic in chief cuts loose and starts killing people. Is that your story? Yep. I nod like my neck's a spring. And right now, they're back at the laundry doing who the fuck knows what. We've got to get McLuhan nailed down fast, before he decides the best way to cover his tracks is to take out head office. And us. He smiles reassuringly. It'll be okay. Angleton's on his way in. You haven't seen him in action before, have you? Picture a light industrial office estate in the middle of any town, with four cherry-red fire pumps drawn up, men in hazmat gear combing the brush, a couple of police cars with flashing light bars drawn up across the road leading into the cul-de-sac to deter casual rubberneckers. Troops disguised as firemen are systematically shooting out every one of the security cameras on the estate with their silenced carbines. Others, wearing police or fire service uniforms, are taking up stations in front of every building, occupied or otherwise, to keep the people inside out of trouble. Just another day at the office, folks. Nothing to see here. Walk on by. Well, maybe not. Here comes a honking great helicopter, the twin squirrel from the Mets ASU that I was in the other night. Only it looks a lot bigger and scarier when seen from a couple hundred feet in full daylight as it settles in on the car park, leaves and debris blowing out from under the thundering rotors. The chopper is still rocking on its skids when one of the back doors opens and Angleton jumps down, stumbling slightly. He's no spring chicken. Then collects himself and strides toward us, clutching a briefcase. Speak, he tells me, voice barely raised to cover the rush of slowing rotors. Problem, boss. I point to the building. Andy's still inside, confirming the worst, but it looks like it started as a fucking stupid interdepartmental prank. It went bad, and now one of the perps has wigged out and gone postal. A prank. He turns those icy blue peepers on me, and just for a fraction of a second I'm not being stared at by a 60-something skinny bald guy in a badly fitting suit, but by a walking skeleton with the radioactive fires of hell burning balefully in its eye sockets. You'd better take me to see Andrew. Fill me in on the way. I'm stumbling over my tongue and hurrying to keep up with Angleton when we make it to the front desk, where Andy's busy giving the Oculus folks clean-up directions and tips for what to do with the broken Lamia, and the summoning altars in the basement. Who's... Oh, it's you. About time. He grins. Who's holding the fort? I left Boris in charge, Angleton says mildly, not taking exception at Andy's brusque manner. How bad is it? Bad. Andy's cheek twitches, which is a bad sign. All his confidence seems to have fled now that Angleton's arrived. We need to... Damn. Take your time. Angleton soothes him. I'm not going to eat you. Which is when I realize just how scared I am, and if I'm half out of my tree, what does that say about Andy? I'll give Angleton this much. He knows when not to push his subordinates too hard. Andy takes a deep breath, lets it out slowly, then tries again. We've got two loose ends, Mark McLuhan and a John Doe. McLuhan worked here as senior occult officer, basically an oversight role. He also did a bunch of other stuff for Q Division that took him down to Dancy House in a liaison capacity. I can't believe how badly we've slipped up on our vetting process. Take your time, Angleton interrupts, this time with a slight edge to his voice. Sorry. Bob's been putting it together. A nod in my direction. McLuhan is working with a John Doe inside the laundry to make us look bad via a selective disclosure leak. Basically, one that was intended to be written off as badass Fortiana. Nothing for anyone but the black helicopter crowd to pay any attention to, except that it would set you up to look bad. I found some not very good email from Bridget inviting McLuhan down to headquarters. Some pretext to do with a software audit. Really fucking stupid stuff that Bob can do the legwork on later. But what I really think is happening is Bridget arranged this to make you look bad in support of a power play in front of the director's office. Angleton turns to me. Phone head office. Ask for Boris. Tell him to arrest McLuhan. Tell him shrink wrap and marmoset. I raise an eyebrow.
Now, lad.
Ah, the warm fuzzies of decisive action. I head for the Lamia's desk and pick up the phone and dial 666. Behind me, Andy is telling Angleton something in a low voice. Switchboard? I ask the sheet of white noise. I want Boris, now. The Enochian metagrammer passes do their thing, and the damned souls or enchained demons or whatever on switchboard hiss louder, then connect the circuit. I hear another ringtone, then a familiar voice.
Hello, Capital Laundry Services, System Support Department. Who are you wanting to talk to?
Oh, shit. Hello, Harriet, I say, struggling to sound calm and collected. Getting Bridget's imp at this juncture is not a good sign, especially when she and Boris are renowned for their mutual loathing. This is a red phone call. Is Boris about?
Oh, hell, Robert. I was wondering where you were. Are you trying to pull a sickie again?
No, I'm not, I say, taking a deep breath. I need to talk to Boris urgently, Harriet. Is he around?
Oh, I couldn't possibly say. That would be disclosing information prejudicial to the good running of the department over a public network connection, and I couldn't possibly encourage you to do that when you can bloody well show your face in the office for the meeting we scheduled the day before yesterday. Remember that?
I feel as if my guts have turned to ice. Which meeting? I ask.
The software audit, remember? You never read the agenda for meetings. If you did, you might have taken an interest in the any other business. Where are you calling from, Bob? Anyone would think you didn't work here.
I want to talk to Boris. Right now. The graunching noise in the background is my jaw clenching. It's urgent, Harriet. To do with a code blue the other day. Now you can get him right now, or you can regret it later. Which is your choice?